This is Real Talk, where all walks of life come together for thoughtful, constructive conversation. No arguments, no debate, just transparency. I'm John Warden, and this is Real Talk. Good morning, everyone. I hope the sun is shining inside, outside, and all around you, even if it's cloudy and raining. Sometimes you got to make your own sunshine. And speaking of that, we're going to bring some sunshine to your morning. So I hope you got a cup of coffee. I hope that your morning is just magnificent and you are prepared for what you're about to get. Speaking of sunshine, in the room with me today, I've got the sunniest guy you've ever met, Mr. Tom Moody from Moody Brothers. If you're looking for a real estate guy, let me tell you, he's the coolest cat I've ever met. He just is. He looks the part. He is the part. And then on to my left is Catherine Madden, that's always brings light and radiance into a room. And so now that I got my hands out because they're issuing me money at this moment, we're taking up an offering kind of thing. But listen, I'm John Warden. This is Real Talk. And today we welcome you. We thank you for the opportunity to, you know, borrow some of your time. Hopefully we can add some investment and we can add some value. We want to eliminate some of the drama, but we want to add some of the fun to it. So today, let's talk about careers, kind of like, how did we get here? Last week on the show, we had some businessmen on here that talked about their, what was happening when their companies were somewhat attacked from social media and reviews and that kind of thing. And they gave a personalized aspect of it as to how they felt from personally, yes, business-wise, employee-wise. And it was a great show. This week, you know, we really want to kind of follow that up with, let's talk careers here for a minute. And you don't have to be a business owner to have a career. I've been in business. I'll tell a little bit about myself. Since I was 12, 13, I was always working for myself, but that means I'm always working for somebody. And the mistakes that were made and the progress and the things we're going forward with have always been an asset to me. So today we're going to talk about how did we get here? And we're gonna let our hair down if all of us had hair, but we're gonna leave that with Tom with his hands up in the air. I need to adjust the lighting because the glare is killing me. Because I'm gonna go ahead and get this out of the way because Tom's gonna get even somewhere in this show. That's just where he is. And so we're gonna have fun with this. But let's talk about career work. Let me read something here. Making a career work requires aligning your natural strengths with market demand, continuously upskilling and building genuine professional relationships. It is a continuous process of self-assessment and proactive adaptation rather than just a linear ladder climb. Now, before we go any further, I'm going to go to Catherine first.
As you should.
Ladies in the room, ladies first. Catherine, how did you get here?
Oh, that's a loaded question. Well, I think that we all have to ask ourselves, really, where did it start early on? Like you said, where did you start? Where was it as a child? And probably is, if you go that far back. I can remember when I was a kid, I used to set up, not a lemonade stand, we made greeting cards and would have our art and make these. We had to sell that. Now, that is some selling, I'm telling you. Selling your art on the side of the road, you know, in a neighborhood, obviously safe, but a little bit more trusting back then than they are nowadays, leaving your kids to sell to whomever drives by. But I think that's where the sales started. That's kind of where it bloomed, if you will, and over the years changed and morphed into new things. But I think that when a person looks at what they're doing now, if they're in the right place, I think they should go back to what they were doing as a child that they loved and morph that into something now that they can actually make a living from doing.
You know, I have four little ones at home, and to watch them react to certain situations, they go from extreme A to extreme Z and everything in between. And yet within seconds, they're back to extreme A. And you watch that, and as adults, you know, we, in our process of growing, we get ourselves in position to where we are, well, we're just creatures of reaction instead of creatures of creation. Now, speaking of creative, again, now that I'm going to give him time to speak and he's got a big grin on his face, but you're going to love this guy. This is Mr. Tom Moody. There's only one in the world. Thank God.
Please continue. No. I think, and I have children, and I like the whole child thing. I think there's a DNA that we're all born with, where there are some people, and I tell a lot of the people that I work with all the time, be the boss. Because nobody wants to be the boss. It doesn't even matter what the thing is. You know, it doesn't matter what your career is. That's almost, hopefully it's something that lines up with something that you really love doing. But there are some people that are going to be the boss, and there are some people that don't want to be the boss, which is fine. But if you find out as an individual, if you were born with the gene, if you have the DNA, then that is a step that I think you have to plow into. It's a step I think that we as mentors or parents need to see that earlier in our children and support them in it.
Absolutely.
And we know, you know, John, with your kids, when they're sitting around, when they're playing, you know who takes charge.
Oh, you know, that would be my 3-year-old. She just rules the roost.
Case closed.
Yes, that's it.
You know? So that, the quicker we can tap into that, the better, in my opinion.
Well, when we start talking about that and creativity, I believe in that. I believe in watching. I watch my children very closely. I did with my 3 older. And I was able to notate in them and hone skills in them that I saw they adapted to. Jacob was very creative in a lot of different things, loved the arts and that sort of thing, and I love that about him. I had an older son that was really more into the sports, and a middle son, as the older kids were, he was mechanically inclined. If I was working on something, I literally had to move him to get to work on it because he was always holding the wrench and doing this. I mean, at 7 years old, he was riding around on a lawnmower, and he was cutting grass. He just had those skill sets. Everybody's got them in terms of careers and how we hone that. So the idea is, how do we look at our young people? How do we look at our kids? And how do we as adults continue to evolve? I don't want to stay where I'm at. In fact, you know what I mean? I'm probably doing more now than I should to go in different directions, but that's okay. The idea behind it is to be in a position to where you're an asset. You're to the community, to the people you're trying to serve, to what you're doing. It's not just business. And I'm not just speaking to business owners about this because I have been one, but yet I serve everybody. So therefore, I'm an employer, if you will, but I'm an employee to it all. So, Catherine, when you look at your children, you see these special little gifts. What are some of the things that you try to enhance? Moms are sometimes better encouragers than dads are. Dads are shortened to the point, and because we're more directive. I try to enhance and be articulate with them, but sometimes we just don't have the patience moms do.
I think that you have to individually look at your children and say, okay, there is something that may be a strength or maybe a weakness. It depends on how you look at it. My youngest, he is assertive, is a good word for it. He's the one who doesn't care who he's talking to. He's going to tell you like it is. And I always joke, I'm like, he's either going to be in sales or he's going to be a lawyer, but he's going to be fabulous at whichever one he does, because he's no apology for who he is. It's who I am, and that's who I'm going to be, and I don't care if you like it.
I think his mama's kind of that way.
Could be.
Tom?
Could be. But I agree 100%. If you recognize that, then as a parent, I think that it's our responsibility to open up those doors and encourage them, whatever that path may be. There's really two kind of people out there, and they're both fine. There are some people that want to be a team player. They want to get a job. They want to get a career. They want to go to college. They want to get a degree. And they want to be an employee, and they want to be a fantastic employee, just like it says right here, the way the ladder goes up one way within that company. And then when you're in that company, who do you answer to? Who are your customers? If you're you work for a huge bank, are your customers other employees of the bank? Or are they people that are trying to do business at the bank? In our situation, our customers are people that we don't know. We're going to do a deal with somebody next week. We've never met them before.
That's correct.
It is a brand new relationship constantly. There are some people that embrace that. Other people are anxious about it. I'm the kind of guy that likes to drive home a different way every single time. And when you have your own business, everyone is an audience. You're always being looked at, especially in today's world. We were talking about earlier today. Not only are we all being looked at, we're all being filmed. So you're constantly being checked out. You're being analyzed, and everybody is a potential client to you, regardless, if you want to run a business. And I think that we should really, as a society, say, this is a legitimate option for you. Your ideas don't have to be sold to this big, huge company. You can do them. How do you do that? That could be a class, a master class, something that you could even get into, John. How do you start a business? Because so many times there are people come to me all the time. I have this idea. I want to do this. How do you do it? And they think they need money. You may not need money. It depends on the situation that you want to do. That part of the industry, that part of the economy will drive this nation. And I think that there's untapped talent everywhere around us.
I agree with that 100%. You know, when you think through business opportunities and the evolution of obviously the internet, social media, and all the things we've talked about over the last few weeks, and all those things which are great things, I got to tell you that the things that we have to be really careful with is it has become so easy now. Like, let's just say you can sit down now with a guitar and you've got a singing voice, and you can sit in a room and you can throw your cell phone up. And all of a sudden, you can end that up on YouTube. You can end that up on iTunes, whatever you want. And you can get all these followers, yep. Which everybody now has a stage for success. I won't say that everybody, as we well know, like professional athletes, not everybody's going to get in the NFL. Okay, and everybody's going to be starting on the Super Bowl team. It's the same thing with music. There's nothing wrong with honing. There's a difference between careers and things that you can hone naturally that gives you personal satisfaction. And sometimes that passion and that love out there, listeners, whoever you are, at any age, if you've got a passion and a love for it, I think it begins there. If you can do that, you can do anything. And you can promote it in ways now that wasn't available when I started knocking on the doors at 12, 13, trying to get $2 a yard yards to cut. And I got this neighbor, and that neighbor said, yeah, he did a pretty good job, so you go next door. So word of mouth. It's that one-on-one, one-at-a-time relationships. Part of what we always do on Real Talk is we set up an outline, and part of the outline is, how do we hone it? What's the five-step process to getting where you are? Well, I don't know that there's a particular order that we need to follow. I just think that the order can be mixed up for others. You know, again, when I think about it, I grew up in a family where my father had a little business, but most of it was going out, going door to door, knocking on the door saying, hey, can we help you, please? Because I need to feed my 19 kids. There weren't 19 of them, but it seemed that way. So it's the passion and the drive. You know, he used to say something that some of the older gray-haired people will understand. He used to say all the time, have to is a real good make 'em. And when you have to, it's a little bit of application. The affordability in today's world is there's a whole lot of genuine items that we can get out here and do, and that you can become so creative and never leave your room, never leave the four walls of your home. And there's things you could do with aspects. And so the encouraging thing is, how do you build a career? Where do you start? If you're young people and your parents and grandparents out here, it's not always diving in to throwing money at it. Now, I'm not against college education. I'm going to get on this for a minute. I'm for that if you have a definitive mindset and you see that, and that's a direction you want to go. But I have a lot of employees that work for me that have a lot of college degrees, and they're using none of them. Now, I understand critical thinking. I understand the process of education. That's what we go through grade school. Not everybody's cut out for that. I think you would agree, Tom, Catherine, you the same way. And it is nothing wrong with using an education, but I am a firm believer that everything that you learn without application is somewhat useless knowledge. I'm sorry, unless it's a personal gratification. I want to learn about the 13 original colonies. I want to learn about how to make calcium. I want to learn, I mean, whatever it may be that trips your trigger, here we go again. It's up to that passion. And so as a career building application, even at any age, maybe, honestly, grandma's sitting at home and grandpa's sitting at home. Well, but they have these exceptional skills that is a lost art today. You might be shocked out there what you could turn that into. With a little bit of YouTube and a little bit of Facebook, you can turn that into massive things. We've come a long way from the lemonade stand. But we really haven't. We're just able to promote it better.
Well, maybe Catherine can weigh in on this. Because as owners or salespeople or business builders, whatever phrase, whatever category, whatever title you want to give us, you have to go out there. You have to ask for the business. If you're an artist and you're a painter, sooner or later, you got to put a price tag on your painting. It's the most...
That's correct.
It's a huge step.
Right.
And it's as soon as you do that, now you're a sellout to a lot of people. That's you're correct. No longer a garage band. Mm-hmm. Now you're mainstream. And...
Now you're trying to make money.
Now you're trying to make money.
That's right.
Which is bad.
In a lot of ways.
But getting back to it, how do you get up every single morning? Obviously, it's very rewarding. The highest paid people in the United States, look on any list, are salespeople. Call them mortgage brokers, call them agents, call them business owners. They're salespeople.
Right.
That's number one. Case closed. Nobody will argue with that. But what happens when you go for the deal and somebody says no, and you're... They just say, no, I don't have time for you. They slam the door, and then you got to go back, jump in your car, go to the next person. I mean, how is that something that you were born with? Did you learn about that in a class? Does that make sense?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is that I don't like the word salesman, and I don't refer to myself as a salesman. I refer to myself as a problem solver.
Good.
Because that's what you are.
Yeah.
If you think you're a salesman, then... You are that person someone has in their mind, that guy that comes out on the used car lot and says, hey, it purrs, you know,
yeah.
You want the keys? You want to give it a drive around the block? No, I don't. Go away,
dude. Do you want
to
take it right now, or do you want to drive it first?
Can make you a deal. No. But if you're genuinely there to help somebody solve a problem they have, then you offer value. You bring something to the table, and you're not that weird, squeamish, like, I don't want to talk to this person. You become somebody that's an asset now.
It's everything about relationship. You learn to get to know each other. Once you get to know each other, there's a trust bond there. And in that, you know where you can turn to. And really, that's the presentation is that. I used to have a guy that worked for me. His name was Bobby, and he was a good guy. So one day, I heard him talking on the phone to somebody, and I just happened to walk by, and he actually worked on a gutter installation crew is what he was. And so he came with this really cool name. He said, I'm a water diversion technician. And I said, you know, I like that. He didn't want to be called gutter man or sales. I think in terms of that, the worst feeling in the world is somebody sitting in a room or somebody walking up thinking, you're trying to sell me something. That's the worst feeling in the world. Nobody wants to hear that. Tom, you've been very successful. You and I got a relationship. We do a lot of business together. Catherine and I the same way. It's because of the relationship, and it's because we feel comfort in each other and know that there's a trust factor. Building reliability and trust. So as you're growing into career-oriented application, whether it be inside the walls, underneath a business, or running your own, none of it works without trust. It just doesn't. It has to be a likability. There has to be a personality. And you hone that personality. You know, not everybody's born like my Millie that's got personality. The house is not big enough for. Okay. And so some of my other children are very quiet. Jacob was a very quiet. He produces his show.
He still is.
Yes, he is. But at the same time, does not mean there's a lack of a scenario where there's not his gifting. I think career is all about finding your way. What works for you in a manner that fits into an application? And again, it's an ever-evolving world. What's AI going to take away? Everybody talks about computers. Well, that's going to eliminate all these people. Well, that didn't necessarily happen because somebody had to put the data in. It's different now. Now you can talk to the computer, so you don't have to have a keyboard. Okay, so now we're going into an AI application. And so the more community and people skills that we come across and the more that's honed, I believe in putting them out there, whether they like it or not. That's the way I was raised. My father at 13, son, go out there and ask that man about doing some work. I was terrified. But then you learn that they can't eat you. That's against the law. They can scare you. And those things happen, but that's part of the process of becoming employable or to be an employer. It has to be that those assets. And so as we grow, Tom, a little bit about your background. Tell us about your career.
Well, I was similar to you, Catherine, in that I just wanted to make money early. And by the time I was 12, 10, 11 years old, I kind of lived in this one-horse town surrounded by soybeans. And I found out that you could hoe a field for 5 cents. You could one row for 5 cents. And I'm like, okay, that's good. And I did the math in my head. And I mean, I was making $2, $3, $4 a day doing this. And I got a couple of my friends, and all we would do was walk up and down these soybean fields. But I would do the math. And eventually, that moved into me pumping gas at a Dunkin' Donuts that had a Shell gas station. And eventually from there, I got into the bakery selling the donuts. And I got this thing going that I wanted to sell things, and that somehow that evolved to me getting a job at selling shoes. And I realized that the people at the mall, if I sold the pair of shoes, I got a little extra bonus. And I discovered this word called commission.
Easy.
Yes. And I thought, well, this is for me.
And you've never departed, Tom.
I haven't.
You're still on commission base.
But in my mind, I said, let me keep on selling something that's more expensive. You know, and the shoes changed into encyclopedias. Before all this stuff was here, you used to have to look up stuff in a set of encyclopedias, and you had to find the books. I used to sell encyclopedias at Astro World, Six Flags in Houston, Texas, at the information booth. This was 1982. They would come up and ask where the bathroom was, and I would say, hey, here's the deal on encyclopedias.
I'll tell you if you buy.
Yes. But I mean, nobody knew where to buy encyclopedias. And then it turned into a mobile home deal and then eventually real estate. But my motivation was just, I want to sell something that's more expensive, because if it's more expensive, I've got to make more money. But along that path, what happens is you realize that you're going to create a relationship and that you're going to build trust. And if you're genuine, then it's limitless as what you can accomplish. And the only other thing I would say, and this is very important to everybody that wants to do their own thing, make an impact on people. You know, entertain. Have people remember you, not by being stupid or ridiculous or flamboyant, even though all of those things are effective, you know, if handled properly, but answer your phone. Do the simple things. Call people back. Enjoy what you're doing. That's the most important thing.
A smile on her face.
I mean,
I get it.
I sell houses. At least I'm selling something that everybody wants. You know? So that's helpful. I believe that what I do for a living, I'm not going to knock on somebody's door and say, hey, do you want to buy a house? However, people need to know that this is what I do. You know, it needs to come up. Everybody is a potential client, regardless of what you do. You know that, John.
That's right. Everybody is in everybody one aspect of the next.
No questions asked.
Catherine, tell us your career. Come on.
Tell
brag on yourself.
Brag on myself. Okay. I'm in radio and marketing, and I help people solve problems. They want to let people know who they are and what they do.
That's right.
I can help them do that.
Tom, this is Catherine. Catherine, yeah. This is Tom. So just a relationship here, and you know, and she does it very well. We've had tremendous success here in our world, and with what we're trying to cultivate in every day is a new society. People think it's the same, but it really isn't. There are some aspects of who we are that you're grounded in. All those things and all those processes that you went through as a child, what to do, what not to do. We've talked about manners. We've talked about etiquette. We've talked about all the things on the show that brings us to a position to where we can make a difference, but we've been cultivating. We've been farming ourselves for all these years, fertile ground in what we take in. So I would challenge anyone out there at any age, get all the knowledge and all the experience you can get in whatever field that it is. And I will tell you that in that, something will grow. Things grow out of fertile ground. They just do. Ideas come up. Get in a room with smart people. No offense to anybody, and it don't matter who or where or what they look like. Get in a room with people that want to go places, that they're not trying to take advantage of. Their morals and their etiquette and everything about them is in a room to where you want to, and they want to make a difference, Tom, like you talked about. They want to present themselves well, solve problems. That's part of the greatest ethics you can do. Catherine, any final words?
I would say recognize that you can't do it all. Say no sometimes. Stay in your lane. That doing too many things within a company, like you can't be the guy who's running the company and, for instance, like the doctor at a medical office. You can't be the doctor and the person paying the bills and doing the billing. That's too much. Then you can't do anything great. Do the thing that's great and accept help for the other things.
You're preaching at me, Tom.
Well, I have a question for Catherine. If I do an ad and we put it on your radio station, can I star in the ad?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Who can speak more knowledgeable about their organization than the person who owns it?
Be your own orator.
That's right. I just would echo what Catherine said because it's so true. I mean, the quicker you discover what you want in life or what you enjoy in life, the better. I've had people tell me all the time, I just want to be happy. And I'll go, well, what makes you happy? And they can't answer the question. So, you know, start with that.
You know, when I sit here and listen to you guys, you can hear the experience. Now, you know, everybody's got their story to tell. And I think that story is what refines you and defines you. And it makes you marketable. Back to the original heading, you have to market yourself. And that marketability is in your experience, is in your intelligence, in your application, in your delivery, in the fact that you are an asset at any age, at any time. The show is Real Talk. We want to thank you again this morning, and I hope you're on your way to your second cup of coffee. And for everyone here on behalf of the good folks that have put this program together and for all the sponsors, good morning. Real Talk is sponsored by Champion Services Incorporated, your local remodel and restoration company, and the Red Door Church. If you're interested in sponsorship or you have a story you want to share or want to be a part of this program, contact us at reachus.realtalkradio@gmail.com.